Last Wednesday, we started a study on heart diseases, and to the surprise of many in here, it was not about a health class. No. We started our study on health, heart diseases, or diseases of the heart, and we took a look at envy. And I said last Wednesday that you'll find out that God is very serious about this topic of envy, and how that topic of envy, or envy itself, is detrimental to your spiritual health. It's also detrimental to your physical health, we found out from our resident cardiologist over here on my left. That there's things that we can get involved in, bad things that we can get involved in, real easy. And envy is one of them. And I had a comment after class that was given to me that said, thank you for bringing up envy in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not outside the possibility of having envy inside of it. And that is, someone might be envious of a fat bald guy teaching Bible class, might be envious of somebody that has some kind of public recognition and they get a pat on the back and you don't. There's feelings that are hurt, and all that can add up, and people can take that and put it in their heart and let it eat away at them over a period of time. And so envy in the world and envy inside the church can be a problem. And God is very serious about it, to the point where he lists envy with a lot of bad stuff. Somebody remember last week what he lists envy with? Murder. Murder is listed, or envy is listed there with murder in the Bible. Anybody else? We have new people here, don't we?
It seems like there's a whole list.
Strife.
Strife, malice, lust. Those are grouped together with the subject of envy. And so envy is just one topic that we're going to look at. So let's go ahead and take a look at this evening's topic. I know you're probably anxious to see what it is, saying, what sin can we look at now? Overcoming ingratitude. Are you thankful? Have you ever found yourself unthankful? You know, you're going through life and you plod along, and you find yourself ungrateful, ingratitude. So this evening, let's take a look at what God feels about someone that shows ingratitude. And also, let's take a look at how we can overcome that if that becomes part of our life. Just like I said last Wednesday, number one, I'm not expert in these areas at all. Okay. And number two, I can't say that I've totally defeated all the areas that we're looking at either. But if something is really bad for us, like envy or ingratitude, God's going to give us a way out. And by studying the scriptures, we should be able to find that way out. And that's what we're going to try to do this evening. Go ahead and look over Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. I know we usually don't point out special guests that come in the building, but I have to do this. Some of you know that I've started teaching at a new school, and my fifth grade team just walked in the door. So these three young ladies over here, and they're embarrassed now. But that's okay. I embarrassed them at school too, so you know, it just goes on and on. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in Him and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Thankful for your faith. Thankful for the teaching. Thankful for teachers. Some of you have been in the faith for a long, long time, and you grew up in the church, and you had Bible class teachers that taught you, your parents that taught you. And then there's people like me. I didn't grow up in the church, and so I was older when I became a Christian. But I'm very thankful to a group of teachers, and some of them right here in this room right now, teaching me when I was younger. Yes. Overflowing with thankfulness. So just one verse, can you get kind of the gist that God is very, very interested in our thankfulness? Go ahead and turn to Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Should we be thankful of the church? Yes. A lot of times, probably not as much as I should, of course, a lot of times I'm thankful to God for the church, the leadership for the church. Without the leadership that this congregation has, it would not be at the point that it is. Leadership becomes vital part in giving direction and strong sense of spirituality to the church. Number two, it is the will of God that we are thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, very, very strong verse. Go ahead and flip over 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Notice that it says, in everything give thanks. Isn't that something? You have a bad day? Is it difficult to give thanks for a bad day? Somebody that's close to you does something wrong to you? There's things that happen to us for a reason that we might not know the reason right up front. And somewhere down the line, things work out for the better for us. Yes, my beautiful mother-in-law. I get a lot of points like that. She said it would be like taking a strong medicine, Jerry, if you could maintain a thankful mode, a mode of thankfulness, no matter what, and then you wouldn't run into problems like envy or covetousness, or all kinds of other problems. If you can really settle into an attitude of being thankful and being thankful where you are. That's really important. Be thankful where you are. You know, you are where you are. It's possible you are where you are because God wills it that way and has brought different kind of influences all around you to put you in that place. And if there's a way to mark 1 Thessalonians 5:18 in your Bible, I recommend you do that. Strong verse about being thankful and about being thankful all the time and being thankful for everything, which covers a multitude. Remember to be thankful. Turn over to Matthew 11:25. Matthew 11:25, here Jesus is talking. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Was Jesus Christ thankful? Yeah, Jesus Christ is our model. He gave thanks. Do you give thanks in your prayer life? Is that part of your prayer life? Think God wants to hear your thanksgiving? God wants to hear your thankfulness in prayer? God wants to hear your thankfulness about your family, about your spouse? What about the job that you're in? What about the car that gives you trouble? What about, you know, the finances that you have, your abilities that you have? Multitude of things to be thankful for. Revelation chapter 7. Verse 11 and 12, all the angels stood around the throne, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our God forever and ever. Amen. Who's praying? Angels. Isn't that something? They're giving God thanks. It's God's creation that gives him thanks. It gives him thanksgiving. One verse that I skipped was Matthew 26:27. Then he took the cup and gave thanks, saying, "Drink from it, all of you." What period of life was that for Jesus? Close to the end? Just before the end. Just before the end, Jesus Christ was giving thanks. Soon he would be betrayed, brought to trial, and then crucified. And before that happened, it's recorded he was giving thanks. Psalm 103, verse 2. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Another commandment to be thankful and be in a position of gratitude and thanksgiving to God. There's a song we could sing. Yes. That was it, wasn't it? It was downhill for him. Yeah, right. Yeah, good comment. Yes.
Deuteronomy 8:10 is one of my favorite parts.
Deuteronomy 8:10. Go ahead and. Great comment. That was Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 10 through 20. It can be easy to forget where things come from. I guess it's, you know, human frailty, human side of us to forget, if you have money in your wallet, you know, doing pretty good, and it's easy to forget where did that money come from and whose money is it to begin with. That's really an important concept. Whose car is that? You know, how are you going to use that car? Are you going to give someone a ride? Is that your position? Are you thankful for that car, that you can use that car for God's purpose? All right, count your blessings. We talked before, if you can really concentrate on being thankful, no matter what position you're in or what's happening, if you can be thankful, you can really get rid of some of those bad things like envy and covetousness and jealousy. And one thing, of course, is to count your blessings. Psychologists will tell you this. If you're going through a time of depression, everybody's blessed in some way. And if you can concentrate on those ways, it makes your outlook on life that much better. And of course, you know, there's a song that we sing about counting your blessings and numbering them. And you know, if you find yourself distraught and feeling, I don't know, left out or something happens, you know, sit down in prayer and count the blessings and keep on going. You'll be amazed, absolutely amazed, where God has brought you. I remember talking about prayer life with someone, and that person said that she keeps a prayer journal. And on one side is the prayer, and on the other side of the page is maybe the outcome or something that God did. And she said, "Go ahead, you know, date it too. When did you make that entry?" And so I did. I got a little booklet going, and I did that. And you know, even now I'll find that book and I'll go through it. And it's awesome. It's just really awesome how God answered prayers. And a lot of times it was not in a way that I would imagine. We had a hand up. Is that you, Sky? Yeah, I remember that project. That was good. And a good teaching tool for children to be thankful. Turn to 1 Timothy 6:8 if you haven't already. Number one, concentrate on your blessings, not on what you do not have. In 1 Timothy 6:8 it says, "And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Food and clothing. Car, roof over your head, good friends, family, good job, you name it. And it's more than that. And the Bible says to be content with food and clothing. Now, Sky reminded me of something, and yes.
John D. MacArthur told me many years ago that all you need, Joe, is a clean, dry bed, 3 square meals a day, and be content with your life. Right here. Right here.
Yeah, right there, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't think you got that out of the Bible.
Okay. Yeah, Joe said that someone told him to have, if you have a clean bed and 3 square meals a day, you should be content with that. All right, Hebrews, I know what I was going to say. Sky reminded me of something. I don't know, hope she doesn't take offense to it. Remind me of when the hurricanes came. And in 2003 hurricanes, 2004, and it hit us, and I don't know what today is, and and they hit us pretty hard and knocked out electricity, and I remember it's kind of like I remember Josh said that Dan Jenkins told him, no, we don't have any hurricanes, come on down, this will be a great place for you to have a job, and then soon after that the hurricanes came, but I remember when I first moved down, the hurricanes weren't all that much. You might have a day off of school, play around, whatever, it's some wind. And but when those hurricanes came, when Sky was talking about a third world country, the electricity, you take electricity for granted. You take it for granted to, go to your switch, go click, and there's something, something turns on. And I know you're going to laugh, but I remember walking in, maybe you did it too, walking into rooms, and even though, the electricity's been off a couple of days, and you go click, and you go, oh yeah, I forgot, there's no electricity. Man, when are those people going to come? I remember we gave cookies to the people from Tennessee that were trying to give us electricity in our neighborhood, so we were going to make sure that we got there first. We're going to make sure that we had electricity soon, and we're going to be thankful to those people for coming down and working hard at it. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can you be thankful for everything? Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Whatever position you're in life, Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to bring you through this. And many times when there's trials, we come out on the other side of those trials, we come out for the better. We come out for the good. I remember somebody struggling through something, and something pretty bad. And I remember the very, very mature comment that this person made, it grabbed me very, very strong. He's going through something very bad in his life, and he said, I pray to God that I don't miss the lesson that he's trying to teach me. I thought, wow. He did not pray to get out of the situation. He realized that the situation must have had a divine nature somewhere. He didn't know what it was. But there's some act of God in there, and so he wanted to make sure that if he was to learn a lesson, that he wasn't going to miss that lesson that God was trying to teach him. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ. One thing that that does is make us all even. You know, the person next to you, you have spiritual blessings in Christ as much as you have spiritual blessings in Christ. And when we can be thankful for that. Yes?
I think Paul stated quite clearly in Philippians 4:11, and he said, not what I regard as what I need, but in whatever state I am to be content.
Yeah, right. Did you read my lesson, Bill? Is that another? Yes, way back there, Mr. Bronson.
There's an aspect of this that we just really glaze over and really never get, and that's down in Luke 11:24. Jesus says that, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask and you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Proper translation of that first of the word receive is in the present perfect tense, which means are receiving. So that we're getting stuff that we don't have yet. So we should be thankful for those things that we don't have that we're going to have.
Good comment. Things that are coming down the pike, we can't see. And we're going to receive those. Okay, ingratitude. Lack of gratitude. Ungratefulness, if you look up definitions. What does God say about ingratitude? He says it's a sinful characteristic. Romans 1:21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They were not thankful, and their hearts were darkened. Something that we can run in trouble with if we're not careful, is having our hearts darkened. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for all men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. They're unloving. They're not thankful. God looks at this characteristic of ingratitude pretty seriously. And a quote from Willie Shakespeare. He went by that name, didn't he, Joe?
Yeah.
See, Joe knew him. Blow, blow, thou winter wind, thou art not so unkind as man's ingratitude. Maybe you've been the recipient of ingratitude. Doesn't feel good, does it? You do something and that person's not grateful. And I tell you what, gratefulness is something that it really starts with the get-go and teaching your children about being grateful. You know, and the strength of saying please and thank you. Yes. Yes. She had her daughter at age 3 memorize Psalm 100. So, you know Allison, you know. So that was easy for her to do. Yes, and if you go out in the community, it's not hard to find somebody that has that attitude of somebody owes me something, and it's really hard to, if somebody has that attitude, somebody owes me something, it's really hard to take that away, especially if they've grown up with that, and to say nobody owes you anything, you know, you should be thankful for what you have. All right. Expressing gratitude. Verbally, we are instructed to give thanks, not feel or think thanks. Pretty strong statement. We are instructed to give thanks. Back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verbally, giving thanksgiving. And I appreciate the gentlemen that lead us in prayer a lot of times. At the first part of the prayer, will lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving and then go on from there. By your conduct, resolve to give back to the Lord by rendering our love, time, talents, and money. God expects us to give thanksgiving by our conduct and, kneeling in prayer. All right, overcoming ingratitude. The luxuries of life can do you in. You know, back to the hurricane days, you get used to certain luxuries, all of a sudden they're taken away from you. And you kind of go into survival mode for a while. I remember a crowd of people in the store because they had milk. And there's this large crowd now standing in this crowd because they had milk. You know, living in America, that's a strange position to be in, is to wait in line for milk and hope that you get milk to bring to your family. Yes. Yes, and I did see a lot of attitudes changed after the hurricanes hit. I really did see a lot of attitudes change. Number 3, put your emphasis on spiritual things. How about the remission of sins? I mean, just that. Can you imagine? I mean being just a content person because just that. Not food on your table, not friends, not a car, not the job, whatever. But Acts chapter 2 says you have remission of sins. You have that if you're baptized into Christ. A mansion in heaven. We have a place in heaven, Jesus Christ said. Isn't that something? Is that something to be thankful for? Yeah. Peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. We can have peace, but that really goes back to the beginning of class, and that is to have a thankful heart, have a thankful attitude. If you're going to have peace, you need to have a thankful heart for sure.
And I'll take a shack in heaven if I have peace in my heart. I don't need a mansion, a shack.
Okay. All right. Now remember that. Joe said he doesn't need a mansion in heaven. He wants a shack. All right. Thank you very much. Everybody gets an A.